Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. Hello. Thank you for listening to the Muslim Sister Circle. I'm your host, Nisa. My co-host, Amina, is not able to join us today, but I do have my lovely producer, Hasana.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So today's show, we're going to talk about Black Muslim women entrepreneurs. It's going to be throughout the whole month of February, inshallah. Black pioneers, Black inventors. And today our guest is Asia. She has a company called Link Events. She's from London, and she'll be on in a little while to explain more of her show. I mean, I'm sorry, her, I have such a bad migraine. Bear with me. She'll be on to tell you a little bit more about her organization. But she did tell me that after seeing BAME, now she has an acronym, BAME, which stands for Black, Asian, and Minority Ethnic Groups and Communities, often poorly represented in business and frequently finding themselves being the only people in the room from a diverse background. Her and her co-workers decided to use their expertise to get more involved in actively changing the landscape. So they set out to just, you know, help empower different companies, different people in business, Muslims, and helping with project management, marketing solutions, business strategy, and different events. She did help a sister with an event on Facebook. I remember the Black Festival, African American Festival. I don't know if you saw that, Hasana, but
no,
that
I didn't.
But yeah. They had a lot of different events on there. It might still be on there. I'll get her to, inshallah, tell us a little bit more about that project that she helped the sister with. So also, just wanted to recap about our show from last week. We had Sister Natasha Somali on, and she's from Philly. She has a hair care line, and she has a salon in Philly. And her page to purchase her hair care, and you want to support Black businesses, especially, you know, it's February. So we want to support Black-owned businesses. Her website is www.natashasomalishop.com. That's NATASHASOMALIASHOP.com. And you could go back to our last show and also listen to the interview and get more information on what she does. She also has another page. I saw her do a live the other day on Instagram, and she also has like a nutrition page where she tells you how to better care for your body inside and out, which also helps to maintain the healthiness of your hair. And that web page for her Instagram is called I believe it's Al-Afia, but she uses the three in the middle, so it's A-L-3-A-F-I-A. So just look up at Natasha Somalia on Instagram, and you'll be able to find out more about her hair care line and her business, which seems totally, like, awesome. So awesome. Did you enjoy the show last week, Hasana?
I I love the show last week, especially, you know, talking about hair, because I think that people think, you know, with Muslim women, you know, who knows what's lurking underneath their hijabs. And it's like, you know, we try our best, you know, to just keep our hair nice. I know I love braids, and so they're just so much easier to maintain. So I think that was good. And I love the part that the sister said about cutting back on sugar and how, you know, that can increase, you know, scalp irritation and things. So that was really interesting. And now every time I scalp, it just, I'm like, oh, did I have too much sugar? So I thought that was such a great thing. And then the products that she was talking about, and these are natural, was really, really great. Because, you know, our hair care, you know, of course, you know, you have your husbands and your family. So, you know, you always want to, and just for our own selves, you always want to keep yourself up. So I think that was such a great topic last week.
Right. And, you know, we want to make sure we take care of ourselves from the inside. Because that helps our skin, our nails, our hair. And her lab was so good. You know, she was talking about she created this basket. It was just full of different things that she ships to you. Like, I think she had maca in there. She had, what was the other thing? It was some things that I felt like I've taken in the past. But she has her own brand, and she just ships you a whole package that just kind of helps you when you take them all together. And then she has some other little goodies in there. So I would definitely, you know, if you're interested in taking care of your body.
Of course. Oh, of course.
I would definitely look into her.
Yeah. So,
wanted to make mention of our pioneer, Miss Madam C.J. Walker, who was the first Black hair care extraordinaire. You know?
Yes. Yeah.
Did you see the movie?
I didn't see it. No, but I heard about it, and I heard it was. I heard it was excellent. But no, I didn't see it. But she is just a pioneer in so many ways, and sort of having her own business, and just really. Just did incredible things for African American women. Absolutely.
The movie was pretty good. I have to say. I didn't realize that she was, you know, inspired by another African American woman first, who was doing her hair, and she was helping assist her when a woman started doing other people's hair, and she kind of took some of the ingredients, but she kind of made it better. You know, she perfected it, and that's how she got her start. But yeah, she did, and she also employed so many different African Americans, put them to work.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. But next week we're also going to be talking about Black women in America and in Islamic history. So
I'm excited for that. Show. It's just every week, you know, we learn so much just from, you know, the topics that you bring. So I think that's so exciting. I can't wait for next week. Nope. I won't. Now you see, I just told a lie on myself because I will not be here next week, but I'm going to listen and play that.
On 11th. Right. Yeah. You know, there was one thing I meant to mention last week. It was about, because last month was sex trafficking.
Yeah.
You guys were just waiting for the sister to call in from London. So just bear with us for the interview. She's going to be giving you a lot of good tips on marketing your business, how to get more traction, and inshallah, to be very beneficial. So just bear with us. She'll be calling in a little while from London. Yeah, it was last month was sex trafficking. Month, and I was reading up on a lot of different statistics about it and a lot of different warning signs. Did you know that Houston is like, it's like Houston, Texas, Washington, D.C., New York, Atlanta, Georgia. Atlanta, Georgia was kind of low, but Los Angeles, Orlando, Washington, District of Columbia, Miami. All these different states have a lot of different human trafficking.
Oh, no, that's sad.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like New York has a lot.
Oh, yeah, I did hear
something about 74. 3,074. Houston has the most, 3,634. I meant to mention this last month because, you know, we have to, when I was working with ACS, we had to, like, kind of look out for the signs, too, when we were interviewing children and teenagers, just to see if they were any victims of human trafficking or sex trafficking. Yeah, it was. It's like it's a real serious thing, and you know, a lot of the times they're trafficking our African American children. It says human trafficking can happen to people all ages, all genders, and all race or religious backgrounds. So we can't think that, you know, we're exempt because we're Muslim. We have to be cautious. We have to, you know, tell your children how to walk in the street, how to be observant. A lot of times I notice that these teenagers are on their phones all the time or have their earbuds in. They're not paying attention to their surroundings. You know, so you got to really teach your children to be book smart, but also street smart.
Yeah, absolutely. I know. I always, when my girls go out, I'm like, don't have both headphones in. Don't text while you're... Well, it's just, it would be the same as, you know, nowadays it's the same as if they're driving. You really have to give those, you know... Let them know, pay attention to where you're going. And everybody, you know, it's just become second nature to just always be on your phone. And like you said, you know, people really need to be vigilant and pay attention. What is the what is the definition of sex trafficking, if you know, or human trafficking? What is the definition?
Human trafficking is a serious. What is human trafficking? Human trafficking is a serious crime and violation of human rights involving force, coercion, fraud, to exploit a person into slave labor or sexual exploitation. So it also adds that when women are you know, trafficked, they're often used for sexual exploitation, while the men who are trafficked are usually used for forced labor.
Wow, because that's scary. And that's really you know, that's horrible. But I'm happy that, you know, in your role at ACS that you were really, you know, instrumental in keeping an eye out. Like what were, if you don't mind me asking, and I don't know if I can ask this, what are some of the signs?
Yeah, I don't work anymore. So, yeah. Okay, so I'm trying to remember. This was like 3 years ago. There was a, you know what, I did look up signs also. Let me see. Okay, so some of the signs are, and we used to have like a sheet, not like a literal sheet, but it was on a computer, and it was just like different questions to ask without trying to make them feel uncomfortable. But a lot of the signs are appearing malnourished, appearing injured, or having signs of physical abuse, avoiding eye contact, social interaction, and law enforcement. Responding in manners that seem rehearsed or scripted. So that was a lot of the things that we paid attention to. So if we had a girl, I have a lot of girls on case, but it could be either, you know, either sex. But say if we had a young lady who lived with a cousin or uncle, right? You would kind of say, okay, well, where's your parents? Right?
Right.
So you would have to kind of look for if what they're saying sounds rehearsed or if they were being told to say certain things.
Okay. Oh, wow.
You know? So, yeah, because that's what was kind of like a red flag. If a young girl, a young child was living with this male and there was no parents around. So you kind of like, okay, well, what's the situation? You kind of check with the schools. You have to check with their doctors, get doctor's reports, get school reports, go visit the school, see how they're doing in school, see if they're even going to school.
Oh, wow.
So there's a lot of things like that. And it says another sign is lacking personal identification documents. So we think of one girl, she was, I believe she was either Mexican or Ecuadorian. And the uncle that she was living with, supposed uncle, had all her documentation, like her social security card, her birth certificate. And at first, he was giving us such a hard time to get it. And we were like, well, what is your problem? Like, you know, you have a case. So what is the problem? You know, And he wound up, you know, giving us the information. But we wound up putting that case into services so that they can kind of keep an eye, because we couldn't really prove anything at that time that anything was going on, because she wouldn't really say much. But I think that case that came in for educational neglect, she wasn't really going to school.
Mm-hmm. But I'm so glad that you keep an eye out on things such as educational neglect, because that's so important to be on the lookout for that with kids. So,
yeah, it was a whole unit I was in. So mm-hmm. we had different units, educational neglect, and then we had the hospital unit, because, you know, those are real. And then we just had like regular general units where we dealt with, when I was in that unit, we dealt with like DV, we dealt with substance abuse, mm-hmm. Things like that. You know, people call, say, oh, my neighbor got kids and all I smell is marijuana in there, or all they do is drink, all I hear is fighting, stuff like that, you know?
Well,
yeah. So
that's a tough job, and you did amazing.
Alhamdulillah, it was kind of stressful. My anxiety got to a level where I couldn't take it anymore. My face started twitching. I was like, oh my God, Allah blessed me, and I got called for another city job, so I left. So we have our guest on, and I'm going to have her come on and introduce herself a little bit, and then we'll just get into some questions. If you guys have any questions, you can call in 516-387-1905. I'm going to call her. I'm going to have her come on right after this break.
If you love them enough to barely sleep, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Okay. Thank you for listening to the Muslim Sister Circle. I'm your host, Nisat. My co-host, Amina, can't join us today, but she will be back next week, inshallah. Okay, we're going to introduce our guest, Asia from London, from the company called Linked Events. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, sister?
Good, alhamdulillah. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, not too bad, thank you. Very good. It's a little bit late over here, but I'm happy to be joining you guys all the way from London to Brooklyn.
Alhamdulillah. What time is it? I'm so sorry. What's happening?
No, not at all. It's like 10 to 12.
Okay.
Pardon?
We're not going to keep you too long.
No, it's fine. Alhamdulillah, I'm really happy to be here with you guys. So, especially for... it's Black History Month for you guys in America?
Yes.
Yeah. So we have ours in October, but so it's a little bit later for you guys. But it's great, especially as you're discussing such great topics today. So, yeah, happy to be here.
Alhamdulillah. Oh, I didn't know that it was in October. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you could just tell us a little bit about your company. I did say a little bit of what you sent me, but you can just kind of introduce and let us know what made you want to start the business.
Okay, so my name is Asia, and my company business is Link Events, and essentially we're a business. We offer like various services, including project management, marketing, strategy, and even branding, kind of comes under that. And the reason why I kind of initially started the business was because I always wanted to own like a business and work on my own terms and for a purpose that speaks to me. So I had kind of seen over like time that BAME, and I'm not sure if you guys use this term BAME, but it's in the UK, it means Black, Asian, and minority. So it's roughly would be maybe people of color. Maybe you'd use that a similar term. I'm not sure what the equivalent would be, but essentially BAME and Muslim communities. They seem to be quite poorly represented in business, even though like we're like super talented in this kind of sector. I just felt like there was a disparity, and you know, often finding myself being the only person in the room who was either black or Muslim or a woman. It started to just be like, okay, something needs to kind of change here. Like, and it's not going to just change by just us kind of sitting around. So I decided to kind of use my years of experience and expertise and providing a service that is created to empower the greatness and champion the diversity that Muslims and BAME people have. And I guess all the services are designed to elevate the impact and the benefit, the visibility, profitability of BAME and Muslim businesses, as well as organizations who want to authentically engage with us, because I also wanted it to kind of branch out and make genuine connections with other organizations who want to engage with us on a real level, not just to tick boxes and stuff. So that's essentially what we do and why we do it. So, yeah.
How long have you guys been doing it?
So I launched just last year officially, but I've been kind of dealing with clients for a while. So I've always, even for the last couple of years, I've been clients and kind of doing projects, but never under like a brand name or never kind of doing it as a business. And it kind of got to a point where I was like, I'm doing all these things, I might as well kind of launch and actually create like not just the business but also some kind of movement, if I could call it that. So technically only since last year, we'll say the last three months or so. But I've been kind of dealing with clients for a while now, so but happy to be officially out there, have the website up and that kind of stuff, because it gives people kind of places to go and look when they're looking for our services, which is really important.
Right. And what's the website?
So it's www.linkevents.co.uk.
Linkevents.co.uk?
Yeah.
Okay.
So definitely anybody who's interested in looking at our services, needs project management, marketing, strategy consultation or branding or anything like that, then those are the things that we specialize in. And we've got our team. So I'm the founder, but I work closely with other members of the team, depending on what the projects are, how big they are, how many people they require. Sometimes we get in special business advisors. So we're very bespoke in terms of what we offer to each of our clients. It's like what they need, and then we kind of tailor packages specifically for them.
Right. Okay. So how many consist of the whole makeup of your company?
So I'd say maybe the core group right now is 3 or 4.
Okay.
But definitely like the bulk of the work I would be doing, and I like to have like a very hands-on kind of personal exchange with all the clients, so it's always I'll always be dealing with them, and then when it comes to if we need a specialized task, for example graphics for somebody's branding, they need a logo design, then we get the graphics designer to do that. Those sorts of things are specialized. So there's you know, we have somebody who does that, we have advisors, and then we also just have sometimes we have third party people that we contract for larger projects if that needs to be the case. But as I said, sometimes it just depends on what the client wants, how big it is, if it's a small project, if it's going to be a long running one, sometimes it requires a bigger team. So yeah, we just try and take things case by case and just offer everyone the best service possible, because we really believe that service, having a quality customer service is essential to having a successful business.
Right.
So.
Right. remember seeing, and I know you helped create this. Was it an African American festival, a Black festival on Instagram? I mean, on Facebook.
You may have heard of a sister, Naima B. Roberts. She's an author.
Right.
She's fantastic. She's absolutely fantastic. And she launched a festival, the first ever Black Muslim festival. And it was, of course, because of the current pandemic situation that we're all experiencing. It was virtual. And it was over in October for a month long. And what that was essentially is like loads of Black Muslim speakers, talking from things on kind of marriage and our community to making money and kind of growth in business. Like there were so many topics, it was so fantastic. And I was working on that project with her in the capacity of essentially like a media officer. So I have a strong background in media. Like I've worked for media companies for like the last 10 years. And so I have kind of a lot of contacts in the media industry and so on and so forth. So I was kind of working on that project and reaching out to mainstream media outlets and securing media coverage. So that was great because we got her featured. We had her in have newspaper articles written, which were paid, and then different article features. So that was great to have that coverage, and the event was fantastic. It was a really good success. So it was great to be part of something so big. But yeah, that was. That was a great event on her behalf. It was definitely a really big body of work that if anybody hasn't kind of isn't aware of it, should go and check her out on Instagram or go and check out the Black Muslim Festival, and inshallah next year Allah will make it an even bigger and better success.
Yes, I did enjoy it. I saw it and I was like, oh, that's what made me reach out to you, because I was like, oh, this was really nice.
Yeah, and it wasn't just like even though it was in we were based in the UK, it was like global. So there was speakers from America, the UK, from Africa, from all over. It was just literally like all the like best and most brilliant Black Muslim in kind of today's in our sphere that we're aware of now these days, all came together and kind of made these like massive contributions. And it was great. It was great. I have to say it was fantastic. Yeah.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. So I was browsing your page and I saw a statement and I wanted to know what it meant, because it was such a strong statement. You said your network is your net worth. What does that mean? Especially for, sisters who are trying to start their business. It's like a powerful statement. I'm
going to
use it.
Inshallah. So, your network is your net worth. And essentially, if that means that the people that you know, there's money in them. So, in the sense that there's money in your network and financial benefit in having a network. So people really underestimate, like you'll be so surprised to see like people in business, they have these massive networks, people on all different levels, in all different industries, and they don't tap into their network. And there's so much value in there. Like if when it comes to things, even from like fundraising, these are the people who you're going to be promoting your fundraising cause to. When it comes to promoting your message, these are the people who see it. They're potentially your customers and your clients, people who will propagate your business for you by word of mouth. Like it's so essential to have a great network. And if there isn't a network there to build one, so definitely actually doing networking events. So like tapping into, if you're a Muslim, Muslim networks, and conversing with people with similar interests and reaching out and collaborating and all these different things that just kind of empower and allow a person to kind of move around this virtual space that we have and the physical space when we're kind of back in that realm again. But for now, obviously, we're kind of more, everyone's been kind of pushed online. So now more than ever, it's even more important because we're having to have those relationships with people online and virtually. So the good thing, though, is that it's not like the hardest thing to do. Sometimes it's just like connecting with someone and messaging them and saying, hey, can we collaborate on this? Or do you know anybody who could recommend a fantastic and so on, kind of that kind of thing. It's just tapping into the people that you know and knowing that there is value in all of those relationships and making sure that you really nurture, like genuinely and authentically nurture those relationships. It's great to have like a big network, but the quality of that network is also important. So, for example, if a person is on social media and they have, you know, let's just say 10,000 followers, which is a very healthy amount of followers, but they don't get any engagement and none of the people are very they haven't bought into their business or their product, then they're not going to buy from you. They'll just watch and watch and watch and they won't buy. But when you nurture your network and you really invest in them, they invest back. So it's give and take. It's not
so
just like...
How do you do that, though? How do you... Because someone just sent me a question. So speaking of, you know, having social media and having a lot of followers but no engagement, someone just asked, how do you promote your brand for everyone to see if you're not engaging them in that way? How do you do that?
So there's many ways. There's many ways. But, I mean, a person can, like, have the organic kind of growth. So if we're talking specifically online, the organic growth where you have social media and people will naturally gravitate to your brand and add you and follow you and kind of like your comments just because... like your posts and that kind of stuff and naturally engage because it speaks to them. So people connect with things that relate to them. So kind of being, having something that people want to engage with, like they want the product or they relate to or they need it, then they're more likely to engage. In terms of like... things like marketing, you can have a strategy in terms of how you post, the content you post. There's certain tools that you can use on social media that boost engagement. So there's definitely different ways you can do that. And one of the services that we offer at Link Events in terms of marketing is kind of creating bespoke packages in order to enhance that experience for the audience, encourage them to engage and buy into the product. But it's all part of it has to be part of like a longer term plan of kind of as I was saying, nurturing your audience, giving them value, because people will look for value, so they'll be looking for value and relatability and all these sorts of things. So I guess it really does depend on also what kind of audience you have, what age, but essentially what it boils down to is, are you offering value? Are you answering problems and giving your audience solutions? Whatever their pain points are, you need to have a solution for that and offer it to them. And people will then say, okay, this person... I know that they give me value in this realm, and so I'm going to go to them for this particular issue or area of business. I know they specialize in it, so this is where I'll go. And eventually people will start to associate that kind of information and value with you, and they'll come to you for it. So it's kind of being consistent in what you're offering and the value that you're offering and the problems that you're solving for your audience. That all kind of helps healthy engagement and building authentic engagement long term for a business, especially online.
Okay, inshallah. So I'm gonna take a break. I'm gonna ask you about Brandon when we come back. Okay.
Fantastic.
Be right back.
Yeah, sure.
You're listening to the Muslim Sister Circle Talk Radio Show.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening. This is the Muslim Sister Circle radio talk show. I'm your host, Nisa. We have our guest, Asia, from Link Event. She's speaking to us about strategizing for our businesses, branding, marketing. If you have any questions, call in 516-387-1905. Okay, Asia, assalamu alaikum. We're back.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So I wanted to ask you a question about branding. What is branding and how do you promote your branding?
What is branding? Branding is is how you present your essentially your company's image, message, tone, personality to the world. So part of branding is your marketing. So how you present in terms of your visual presence online and the message that you are trying to push. Also the tone of your business. So if you look at certain businesses, you'll kind of get a feeling like if you watch them over, you know, a while, what kind of tone. It's almost as if they have like a voice. Are they informal? Are they formal? Are they kind of youthful? Are they corporate in how they sound? The personality. Every brand has a kind of like personality. For example, some brands will be very kind of colloquial and kind of use slang terms, almost like that you're speaking to a person, even though it's a very big brand. And then you'll have some that are very kind of formal and have not that the informal brands don't come across professional, but it seems like a very a kind of more traditional kind of corporate organization, you could say. And then you have other forms of branding might be your logo. So this is like really important because without any words, a person will look at your logo and like recognize your business. So that's also part of branding. And companies spend thousands, you know, on logos. Sometimes big companies spend thousands on logos because they really do appreciate the importance that a good logo can have and a bad logo can have. The kind of impact and the message that a logo can send, you know, and what does it speak to the message that they are trying to send. So you'll find that a lot of great kind of graphics designers really, really who own their craft will add some real value to your business just through a logo. And then you have things like the website. That's kind of like your base of where you want to signpost people to kind of get like a full overview of what you do, how you do it, the services, the vibe of your business, the prices and everything like that. So there's different ways of branding, even down to if you have a product, you have packaging. So that will be part of the branding. Yeah. You know, in terms of that, a person with a product might have packaging, and the decisions that they might want to be making is what kind of quality are they going for, what kind of feel do they want. Do they want to have a premium brand? Do they want to have an affordable brand? Do they want to have a eco brand? Do they, is it for men? Is it for women? Is it for Muslims? So the branding can really let a person know a lot of information about your business, even without seeing kind of like a bio or these sorts of things. It really does create an impact. And so that's why it is really such a big part of kind of establishing a business, and it's a very important part of establishing a business, because it kind of from the beginning sets expectations for your business. So there's definitely ways in which
you guys help with the branding too, right?
Yeah, so that's kind of, so we offer like a strategy which is essentially consultation. So we consult businesses and solve issues, create value, maximize growth, and improve performance in our consultation. And part of that sometimes kind of stretches out to branding, because of course branding is something that can create a lot of value and maximize growth. And so it's definitely something that we do for our clients. And sometimes you have people who have interest in websites, and sometimes just logos, or they're looking for a package. So we will kind of have a consultation with, like an initial consultation with our clients, and then kind of figure out what it is that they exactly need, the direction that they're going in, and then we'd give our professional assessment to them. So that's in terms of like strategy. But also, as I touched on before, part of branding is your marketing. So even in your, say, if we're talking again about online, it's not just online, but sometimes, you know, these days we do see a lot of online stuff, so it's just easy to refer to. But even the way that it's designed, will be kind of in line with the brand. So the colors, the font, the tone, personality, it's all there in a design. One post could have so much information about your brand inside it. So that's also something we do a lot of, and we're finding increasingly that a lot more people are wanting marketing packages, because I think there's a realization that actually there is a lot of value in marketing, and if it's done correctly and done consistently, then it really does, it is really worth the investment. It's really worth the investment, and an integral part of businesses. So if businesses are launching, they should definitely in the early stages be thinking about their strategy and their branding and their marketing. When they establish themselves, how do they want to appear? What is their message? How do they want to deliver it? In terms of people who have a physical product, so for example, there might be somebody who has a halal butchers, for example. Mm-hmm. Their branding might look different. Their branding might be things like bags and the way that their shop is kind of laid out, their business card, how they package their meat, however it is. It's different for each business, but the point is that it's there for every business, because every business, whether they know or not, has kind of a brand image. And the more you refine that, the better it will be in the long run. So it's definitely a great thing to establish early on in deciding or even launching a business. It's something you need to decide on even before that, in the pre kind of launch stages.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about partnering with another company that's already in business? Say if you sell like lip gloss or t-shirts.
Yeah.
And you know somebody else on social media also does the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about a person reaching out to that person and saying, oh, can we partner together? Maybe I can sell some of my stuff on your website. Do people usually go for that? Is that like a good idea?
It can be. It depends what the goal is. Competition isn't always bad,
mm-hmm.
because it kind of pushes businesses to be better. And to realize that, you know, there is health competition, and in order to kind of stay, you know, keep pushing the bar, and the quality and the levels and the service, it has to be first class. People love customer service, even if we think about ourselves when we go into a store or a shop and we receive customer service. We remember how we feel when we was shopping there. We might not remember exactly what was said, but remember that person was so friendly. That person really helped me out. Or I bought that package. It was fantastic. The branding looked absolutely amazing. Or, you know, people remember their experiences. So, so competition isn't always bad. A great idea, especially if it's a new fledgling business and this other company has a much bigger reach, and it would serve to be publicity for the new company. It could be a fantastic opportunity. So definitely, it's not always a bad thing to kind of work with people with similar businesses. And in fact, sometimes, again, going back to the network, if you were to kind of collaborate, because your businesses are so similar, there might be a slight difference, that one might be niche, so one might be matte and one might be glossy. So,
mm-hmm.
but because they're very similar, if two companies were to kind of collaborate, the target audience is also very similar, so they're likely to kind of convert, and there's likely to be some conversion with them liking and being used to seeing this certain product that they already consume, and then being introduced to another one that's very similar. They like to think, okay, maybe I'm going to try that because, you know, they've come on this platform with a brand that I respect and I consume from, and they're very similar, so let me try that one too and add that to my collection, because, you know, so it does work sometimes. So it's definitely something to think about. But I would say a person should look at all the components, because you have to evaluate business decisions case by case, because what might be right for one company may not be right for another. But definitely be open-minded in business, because it's really important. It's really important.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. I'm going to take another break, but inshallah,
okay.
When we come back, I want to ask you more about the keys of having a successful business and where
fantastic.
To start. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Cool. Thank you.
You're listening to the Muslim Sister Circle Radio Talk Show.
If you love them enough to barely sleep, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We are on with Asia from Link Events from London, and we're talking about business, women in business, how to be better in your business. We're talking about branding, marketing, strategizing. And our next question, Asia, is what is the keys to a successful business, and where do we start?
Okay, this is like a really, really good question, and it's the golden question. So the simple answer is it's not just one thing. In terms of what the key is to having a successful business, it's a combination of things. So For people who've got like new businesses, you'll realize very, very early on that you have to be a salesperson, and you have to be the biggest cheerleader for your own company, because the effort that you put in is what you're going to like see the kind of reap in the end. So the more you're kind of propagating your business and really kind of getting behind it, so you definitely have to be like a salesperson. You have to have in terms of the key to the success. You have to be talented in the skill that you're offering. So if it's a service, you really have to have a genuine kind of either expertise or skill or talent in that area to offer value that people will appreciate. And if it's a product, the product has to be fit for purpose. So, you know, making sure that whatever it is that you're offering, people want, they need it, and they're willing to pay for it. So that's another key. Like, you know, sometimes people will offer something that is great, but it's just not right for the time. Like, for example, if someone was to kind of launch maybe a specific events type of company now, like physical events, they might find that there's less less need for it because of the current situation that we're in. It doesn't mean that it's not the right company. It's just not the right time. So also timing is important. And then I would say being financially savvy. So having a business, it takes funds. No matter what anybody tells you, you're going to have to put some money in your business, whether it's through grants or funding or savings or angel investors, whatever it is, it's going to need some funds. So kind of whether a person has saved up and then they're going to use that. But whatever it is, being financially savvy, making sure that that the right financial choices are made for the business at the right time. I would say taking calculated risks. People always shy away from taking risks, but it's important. You need to take risks in business, just not frivolous risks. Like calculate them, estimate them. Is this going to be, does the return on interest outweigh the potential risk of loss? And, you know, make a educated kind of decision in that sense. Being consistent, I cannot stress how important this is. You could have a fantastic business and a person doesn't put the effort in and that's needed, and the business will fall off, even though it's amazing. And it's so sad when this happens, because it's just like you can see the goodness in a company. It just, a person needs to be super consistent to kind of show that to others, especially their audience. And on the flip side, you can have a company that or a brand or a product that isn't as good as one we may have seen before. But because that person really is driven and dedicated to the business, they make it work and people buy their product and they make money. So being consistent, I cannot stress it, is so important from kind of putting in effort to showing up on social media with your marketing and posting consistently, to reaching out to your loyal customers in emails and thanking them and giving them products or whatever it is. Just being consistent in all areas of your business. Definitely, I would say another 2 points will be perfecting your craft. So a wise person once said it takes about 10,000 hours to really perfect your craft. So so I would say that whatever it is, whatever business that you're in, if there's courses you can do to make yourself better, do it. If there is research you can do online to kind of be more knowledgeable about your products and your competition and your market, read it. It's so important to know your what you're talking about in terms of your business, and just perfecting your craft. It really does add value. Like, there's nothing better than like the experience of someone who knows what they're doing. So, and finally, I would say make sacrifices. It's something that everyone has to do. You have to kind of, you know, have those late nights and have the early mornings. And, you know, maybe kind of not buy that extra coffee because, you know, you have to pay for kind of somebody to do your logo or something like that. So being willing to make those sacrifices that in the short term might be hard, but actually the delayed gratification of having a successful business in the end and seeing your business grow far outweighs those short-term sacrifices. So definitely, yeah, and definitely asking Allah to put barakah in the business, because I mean, all success is with Allah. So definitely that should be the first thing a person does anyway. But yeah, reminder for myself first. So those are some of the things that are part of a successful business. And again, going back to, you know, having good branding and marketing and, you know, a plan, you know, being directional and intentional in everything that a person does, and walking away with actions, because it's all good to have ideas, but there needs to be action and proactive. Someone has to be proactive, not just reactive. They need to be proactive in bettering their business and growing their business and, you know, creating a better strategy for themselves. So these are some of the things that are important in creating a successful business, inshallah.
Do you guys also help with business plans?
So these are the sorts of things that we can help our clients with. And it's interesting that you say that. So we do kind of, in terms of, I think the question you said was, where does a person start, and in terms of a business? And I would say one of the things that a person who's about to launch a business should start with is, of course, it sounds really obvious, but the idea, some of the key components of the idea and the key questions a person should be asking themselves is, can you provide this service or this product to the quality that is required? And I'll touch on that in a minute, because it's the quality that is required is important. Not that it's high quality, but to the quality that's required. Because if you're trying to sell an Hermes bag to somebody who just wants a kind of a paper bag, then the quality doesn't matter. They just need the function. So providing the quality that's required, that's one of the questions a person should ask. Do people want it? Like I said before, is it desired? Do people want to have this thing? And are they willing to pay for it? So these are the questions that a person should be asking themselves in the kind of pre-project stage of an idea. Can you provide it to the quality that is required? Do people want it, and are they willing to pay for it? And so I'd say that's one of the first things. Secondly, in terms of a business plan is great, yeah. And definitely we can help people with their business plans, especially if being necessary. You need a business plan because people need to see, the strategy, the plan for the business. What do you foresee? How are you going to ensure this? Like, it just sets everything out. But it's not necessary for all businesses. So some businesses just don't need one because they're not really looking for any funding, or they have their funding. They might be like a very small, non-complex business that doesn't necessarily need it. So a business plan is great, and I would always say a person should do it. But if a person is really pressed for time and their idea is very, very simple, then in some cases you don't need it. What else in terms of where does a person start? Finances. So either raise some or save some is what I say. Have some set aside. Because as I mentioned before, a business requires funds. So there's various ways a person can do that: crowdfunding, sponsors, investors, fundraising events, things like that, grants. There's many ways. Say like a personal savings, but definitely finances are something that a person has to look at in the overall trajectory of the business. And then I would say, outlining the framework and the structure for the business, and the service and the products that a person, services or products that a person, because sometimes people have services but they don't have products, sometimes people have both. So outlining services and or products, and one thing that's important is to include a price list at this stage, because you need to, a business will need to start deciding how much are they going to charge for their services, ways that a person could, you know, sometimes when a person is new, a business is new in the field, they don't know, how much should I charge for this? Is that too much?
Right.
Is that too little? So on and so forth. So this is really important, where the market research is so integral. Every business needs to do the market research for, you know, look at what their competitors are doing. Look at somebody in your field who is kind of mid-range, high-range, and low-range. So you have an idea of, okay, if I want to go for a premium quality, this is what I pay. If I want to go for affordable, this is what I charge. And if I want to go for, you know, middle of the road, this is what I charge. So that's in terms of pricing, but also just industry standard, like what is the industry standard? What are people offering who are doing similar things? You know, can I give them something better? Am I niche? You know, thinking about all these things. In terms of the framework and the structure, like how the business will operate, is it just online? Will you have a store? Will you have all these sorts of things? So these things are also important. And then I would say branding and marketing, that's definitely something that a person needs to look at. That's kind of like the really fun stage, like of,
right,
you know, creating, and it's like a really, really,
yeah,
like, yeah, it's fantastic. It's really where the brand owner can really say, look, this is what I want my brand to look like, to feel like. And you often see at this stage is when the brand owner, sometimes people don't really know, they need a little bit of like help, like they know how they want it to feel, but they don't know necessarily how they want it to look. So we will help our customers kind of refining that and in creating their brand and the image and the vibe that they're trying to present.
Right.
And then also,
with that being said, Asiya, before we go, what type of packages, really quickly, do you guys offer? Should they just reach out to your website to find out the packages, or have a consultation with you to find out the packages? Can you tell me what they will be getting?
Yeah, so I'd say definitely you go to the website, linkevents.co.uk, and go to the contact page, or drop me an email at info@linkevents.co.uk, and then the best way is by initial consultation, because then I can really understand where a person is coming from and, you know, what they're trying to achieve. So I'll definitely say booking for an initial consultation, and inshallah that would be the best way we can kind of work with a client to understand what their goals are, and then work with them to kind of solve their issues and create value and improve their business performance that way. So definitely just drop us an email again at info@linkevents.co.uk, and we will be there to assist you and inshallah add value and visibility and profitability to your business, inshallah, by the will of Allah.
Yes, inshallah. Thank you so much for staying up late.
No worries. My pleasure.
And I will definitely make sure I restate your website and your email on the page.
Jazakallah khair.
It was a pleasure speaking to you, even speaking to you the other day. You're such a pleasure to speak with, and you're so,
your
voice is just so calming. And
oh, may Allah bless you. Jazakallah khair.
Alhamdulillah. May Allah bless you too. May Allah bless you too and your family and your little baby. And may Allah bless you in everything that you're trying to do to help the community. Through this pandemic.
Where you exist. May Allah grant you better. And thank you for having me on. And I look forward to talking to you again soon, inshallah. And if there's ever any questions or anything, just give me a shout and I'll be happy to advise, inshallah.
I will definitely. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We'll speak to you soon.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bye-bye.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're going to go on a commercial break. We will be right back. You're listening to the Muslim Sister Circle. The Muslim Sister Circle Radio Talk Show. We'll be right back.
if you love them enough. To barely sleep? Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
All right, you're listening to the Muslim Sister Circle Talk Radio Show. We were just speaking with Sister Asia from London, from the agency, How Can I Move Back From Your Home? Link Events, and her email, if you guys are looking to get help with your company, is info@linkevents.co.uk. Hasana?
Yes.
How did you think the show was?
I thought it was wonderful. The sister gave so many great ideas about branding and, you know, just the sacrifices that you have to make in starting a company. Many times people think they're starting a company, you know, they start it Monday, they'll be a multimillionaire by Friday. And she was really giving really concrete information about how to, you know, just pace yourself and brand your business. So I thought that was wonderful, and she gave a lot of great insight.
Okay. People are asking me to add the link. I'm going to definitely put the link on our page and on my Instagram. I don't have an Instagram for this page yet, but my sister's of Brooklyn, New York. I will definitely put it on there. So her website again is www.linkevents.co.uk. And her email again is info@linkevents.co.uk. Okay, so next week we're going to be speaking about Black women in American and Islamic history, inshallah. And then on our show after that, on the 18th, we're going to be speaking with Sister Zakia. She has a baking company, and it's called Treats by Zakia, and she's from New Jersey. So, inshallah, just to, you know, if you guys are listening and are looking to get logo, branding, marketing, strategizing for your company, definitely hit up Asia at Link Events. She's on Facebook. She is on Instagram. I believe she is on Instagram a little bit more. It's Link Events, LINQ Events. Look her up. She's amazing. I've seen the work that she has done. And inshallah, she can help you get your business where you want it to be. Thank you so much for listening. This is the Muslim Sister Circle Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Nisat. Inshallah, my co-host, Amina, will be back with us next week, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, Hasana.
Wa alaikum salam.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wal 'asr. Innal insana lafi khusr. إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر